This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with Larry Bluestein on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app.
Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Their experts treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com.
Here is Larry Bluestein.
Welcome, welcome, and we welcome you to a new week. And not only that, what a great day. It's now football, and by the end of the week, at every level, we'll be starting the preparation for the 2025 season. The NFL got underway last week. Colleges will be getting underway this week. And this is the first day for high school football around the state of Florida, ending a 7.5 month drought. Now things are gearing up for real. Not that they haven't before, but you know the drill. It's football's the longest offseason you have. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, if you, especially in the high school and even college, if you don't make the playoffs or you're not in a bowl game, it ends for you in November, December, and then you have all the way until now to kind of lick the wounds and ponder what could have been and what may be. And that's what it is. The off season is one of those, if you win, let's do it again. If you come close, you know, let's use that as motivation. And if you didn't do anything, let's just, you know, let's try to get to that 500 mark, or let's try to get over the top, because no matter where you go, especially during the summer or actually during the spring, and, you know, you go to spring practices and you go to summer camps around state, country, and then you go to, you know, events like we had one last Saturday to kind of cap off the off season, the Crib Classic inaugural event. It was a combine and well attended. And, you know, I'm a little skeptical about those things that are 5 days before practice, because, you know, if you run the 40 or you, you know, do any of the drills, and every oh, well, you could get hurt the first day of practice. But yeah, but then you're at least there. You know, you'd hate to be running the shuttle or one of those events or doing a broad jump and then all of a sudden pull a muscle or tear something, because then your season's really in jeopardy. And, you know, you almost want to cry because you've anticipated and you worked so hard in the off season. But that's really, you know, a lot of people shut it down for the most part as far as real, real hardcore competition, you know, at the beginning of July. And maybe just a few things, you know, maybe a 7-on-7 or, you know, a camp. But, you know, think about this. By the time last Saturday rolled around, look at how many times these young men have tested. Run the 40, the broad jump, cone drills, you know, whatever. It's just, it's a lot. I think they just should have a universal one where everybody takes the numbers and, you know, passes them on to whoever they're going to pass them on to. But every brand wants their own official, you know, he's 5'11", 175, and he runs a 4.7, and they want that. They want that documented by themselves, which is fine. But, you know, these kids are, and I know you're going to say, oh, well, they're 15, 16, 17, and they can withstand a lot of this, you know, testing and stuff, which is yes and no, but mostly no, because the kids can get hurt just like any the adults can. So, and I'm not saying like banged up hurt, but I'm saying pull things, aggravating pains that will carry over to the season. And now we're into the, especially at the high school level right now, this is, this week will pretty much be in shorts and helmets, and then they'll morph into pads and full go by next week. And then we're not far away, because the week of the, the week of the 12th is the week of the kickoff classics, which begin later that week, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th. And then the following week starts the season. The last week of August starts the season. Or second to last week, somewhere in there. But because high school football has become such a showcase, and in many markets outdraw colleges as far as viewership and attendance, like this, the first week of the season, when you have these marquee games like Chaminade and Madonna and St. Joe's or St. Francis Academy of Baltimore, and you have Mater Dei, who is a perennial national power, putting guys into colleges and eventually to the NFL forever, coming here to play St. Thomas Aquinas, and then St. Joe's of Pennsylvania, one of the Eastern powers coming down to play against American Heritage and Plantation. You have really good football. You have marquee football. You have games that are going to be on ESPN, not ESPN9 and not ESPNU and ESPN 360 and 480 or whatever they call them. You know, they're actually on the real ESPN, and they get that weekend to kick things off. And there's some really good games. And like I said, highlighted by a doubleheader from Fort Lauderdale and the nation, just like last year when the country got a chance to see St. Thomas Aquinas and Bishop Gorman of Las Vegas, a perennial top 3-4 team in the country. Well, this year it's going to be Mater Dei, who is a perennial 1 or 2. And yeah, it's going to be interesting. And the entire season is going to be interesting because of the fact that every week from 1 to 12 or how long they go, it's going to be interesting because, you know, the local powers found out that you're not going to get any national love unless you play a schedule. And so everybody listened. St. Thomas listened, Chaminade, Madonna listened, Northwestern, Central listened, Columbus listened, Heritage, all the powers, they listened. And now they're loading up with some really, really good teams every week. You know, they're going to have a couple of breathers and a district game here and there that may not be, you know, peg the meter nationally. But you do have a majority of these games are going to be every week. So during the next couple of months, we're going to be talking about a lot of those marquee games. We're going to have guests from those high schools and those players and those coaches. And that's the great part of this whole thing, is because we're in a true mecca for high school football. And I've had this argument for 50 years. Yeah, there's other areas of play. Ohio, great. Georgia, Louisiana, great. Texas, great. California, a lot of the eastern places like Pennsylvania, they play. And their athletes are comparable to ours. But the thing that differentiates South Florida, especially in Miami and Broward, is the depth. I mean, where there's programs that could go right with us for the top 100, 120. But then when it comes to 120 to 300, there's no state, no area in the country that'll be able to match the overall talent that we have here in South Florida. And that's what makes it great to go to any game. Doesn't matter where you are. There's going to be at least one or two kids that are going to be playing on Saturdays, and a majority of them will carry on to play on Sundays. And we see it all the time. You turn on the TV on a Friday night or Saturday or whenever college football is being played these days, and you're going to see players from South Florida that are making a difference. And then Sunday, Thursday night football with the NFL, Sunday night with the NFL, Monday with the NFL, you're seeing the same thing. We're getting an opportunity now to see a lot of these players. And it's funny because everybody's making assessments on all these guys who haven't even played a game yet. Oh, no, Cam Ward is going to be a bust, and this guy's going to be a – and Cam Scatabo, all he was is Arizona State, and he was a novelty. Yeah, maybe you're wrong, but that's why they're playing. They start the NFL season this Thursday, I believe, and the Lions are playing – in the Hall of Fame game. Yeah, so that should be – who are they playing, Trevor?
This your team, your town, your San Diego, Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, the Los Angeles Chargers, okay. But not my not the Rams. I would have known that. I would have known if it was the Rams. So, yeah, so the Chargers and Detroit get it going. You're just going to see all the rookie guys and all the free agents. But whatever it is, it is. It's, you know, an opportunity to see some football. The country gets starved for football. They really do. I mean, you know, unless you're in a hotbed for baseball. So the interest here in South Florida, which is never really fierce for baseball, has been a little bit tempered in a good way this year, because the Marlins are five, six games under 500, and they were 13 or 14 at one time. And so they've played, but imagine being in places like Detroit, where they got the largest lead in baseball, or Los Angeles, where you could play kind of average baseball and still be on top. And New York, it's split. I don't want to get one of our guests tonight's a diehard Yankee fan, Adam Lichtenstein, so I don't want to get him all crazy. But
I'll get him crazy for you, maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. But the Mets are playing well, so yeah, this is a great time. A lot of the last week we talked baseball and we had.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
One of the draft local draft picks is with the Mets. So we kind of try to run the gamut, keep in touch with all of our athletes and, you know, I mean, throughout the course of the year. But right now it's just going to kind of center around football for the next couple of months. And like I said, I mean, guest-wise, it's going to reflect it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, because every week we'll kind of take a look at some of the games coming up, rehash some of the games that passed, a couple of the recruits, you know, local recruits that may, you know, be pegging the meter someplace. And this is when all eyes are on this area, especially because a lot of these kids who commit to these colleges and universities, you know, and everybody, well, I've never seen them play. Well, now this is your chance. I mean, because a lot of these guys that'll be freshmen next year will be kind of under the microscope, just like this incoming freshman class. Like University of Miami or FIU or whatever, any of the schools in the state of Florida, you know, they have some freshmen who have been really doing well, who went in last January. So technically they're not, if they went to classes and everything, they're really sophomores. And they're probably sophomores from a mental standpoint too, because they've had an opportunity to kind of mingle with college guys and college women. That are in their 20s and that are, you know, have been down this road. So you, that 17-year-old, 18-year-old kid that left back in January is right now pretty well feeling like he's a young adult. And he are, and they are. And I've seen it. And that's the advantage of these athletes in all sports going in early and graduating in December from high school and then going in January, because that growth period, remember that January, for those guys that aren't taking online classes, that are in on campus, that January period from a maturity level, because you're going to classes with people that could be 20, 23, 22, 23 years old. Not only that, is you're getting fed three meals plus, you're on a nutrition program, you're on a weight program. And you're football wise, you're playing with guys that are ready to go to the NFL or a professional. So it changes. Life changes for these young men and women when they get into college early, because there's no more babying. Mom and dad ain't around. Mom ain't doing your wash. She ain't cooking. She ain't making you that peanut butter and jelly sandwich at 10 o'clock at night. That's on you. And that's why now in high school, they have those trips during the off season for these kids, the little caravans that take you to different colleges and universities and get you an opportunity to see some sites that you read about in school, you know, kind of on the job type of training. So when you go back to school for your final year and you're in geography or you're in history, you can go, oh, wait a minute. We went there this summer. You know, I mean, and not only that, you're on your own. Okay, you got your coaches as chaperones and telling you, you know, hey, listen, don't do this or that. But for the most part, you know, I mean, if you're away a week and you have dirty clothes, you better find out where the in the hotel where your laundry is. And you're going to have to start, you know, preparing for life. Believe me. And, you know, I mean, you're a teen one day and then you're growing it up pretty quick. And for those, oh, I can't wait till I get in college. Well, you are. You're getting an opportunity to do that. Good show this evening. As I said, every week we're going to come at you with six really good guests. Informative in basically every way possible. We'll talk University of Miami football at 7:35. Adam Lichtenstein from the South Florida Sun Sentinel will drop by. We'll talk as the Hurricanes open practice this week. We'll kind of see what happened in the offseason. 7:25, Brandon O'Doy from Football Hotbed will join us. South Florida Media Day is taking place this week, this Saturday, in Deerfield Beach for a lot of the teams that will come and get an opportunity to meet with the media, get an opportunity to answer some questions about the upcoming season. I will talk to Brandon about 7:25. Last year wasn't a great year for Florida State. We know that. And so the Seminoles are doing everything possible to kind of turn things around. They got Alabama as the opener. That's a that may be a little bit of a reality. But nevertheless, Chris Knee from 247 Knowles, part of the 24/7 network, will join us about 7:05. At 6:50, one of the teams that really surprised last year. I think everybody was looking for the Gators to fall on their face and lose their head coach, and it didn't happen. They went to a bowl game, did well in the SEC, could have come away with two other wins. Tennessee, they took them down to the wire. Georgia, they had that game as well. Corey Bender from Gators Online will join us, part of the On3 network and also rivals now. At 6:35, he's probably been the longest commitment to FSU in this 2026 class. 2 years ago, I believe, that Darryl Trey Bell from Goldman High School right here at Miami Lakes committed, and he remains firm. He's been up there a couple of times. We'll talk to him about what it has been in the offseason for him and how he gets ready for his final year. And in just a few minutes, we'll, as I said, we started football today. One of the teams expected to be in the playoffs once again are the Mavericks of Archbishop McCarthy, Coach Jake Pugh. First year, he's been there, but this is his first year as head coach. Will join us as well. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts. Now, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and even youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we talk high school football. Coach Jake Pugh from Archbishop McCarthy is next.
Welcome back to the South Florida High School Sports Show on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, we take you up until 8 o'clock this evening. So glad you could be with us on the start of football for high school football around the state of Florida. One of the teams last year that finished pretty strong. I mean, this is a program that was playing, you know, wasn't an independent. They were a member of one of the toughest districts, a 4A district that produced the state champion in American Heritage Plantation. But they did pretty darn good. They made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. They beat Plantation in their playoff game. Offseason, legendary head coach Gino Mangiero, who had the program the last couple years. Hey, you know what? It was enough. I mean, this man has done, he had done everything in coaching from high school all the way to the NFL, and certainly has left such an influence. And one of the influences.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Was the coach that was named the head coach and somebody who followed in his footsteps, somebody who takes over, well-respected already and just a short time in South Florida and has done some really good things. We had him on earlier when he was named head coach. We have him on day one. Welcome in head coach Jake Pugh. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. And, hey, listen, if you're going to replace anybody, it's great to replace a legend and somebody that you kind of followed in his footsteps.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on, Larry.
How was day one? I mean, it's so funny, Coach. You know, it's football has the longest off season. I mean, you take a look at some of these teams ended in November of last year. And here we are looking at July 28th. And they're just starting once again for real. But it's an active off season.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And for us, day one was good. Day one was good. You know, we tried to emphasize to the kids that the one thing that we wanted to see today was a lot of energy, a lot of effort, guys finishing through drills. We know the kids were going to make mistakes. It's day one. So we're going back to, basics, fundamentals, basic stuff. But we wanted to make sure that, again, there was a ton of great energy. Guys were excited. And there was a lot of flying around and a lot of great effort. Okay. And I think we got that today. So it was a good first day for us.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, it sets the table for what is going to be another exciting year. You already know your district is as tough as you're going to get, but you got some pretty good off, out of the area type of programs. You open up with Cardinal Gibbons in a regular season after you play a really good Palmetto team, a Miami Palmetto team that in the kickoff classic that a lot of people are expecting, to do really good in 7A. But, you mentioned, the kids a little rusty opening day. This is isn't like the old days. This isn't even like when you played, because when you were playing, you know, you might have gone in and you were kind of rusty, but you didn't have the offseason. You didn't have the camps. You didn't have the combines. You didn't have the 7-on-7s. You didn't have all that, you know, to kind of keep you in football shape year round. Talk about that, because I think that is the biggest difference now that, you know, up until I believe Saturday, they were hosting combines around the state. They still had kids testing, things that you want to get out of the way in January, maybe through April or May, that they were still doing. But for the most part, your linemen aren't 30 pounds overweight. Your kids are better in cardio shape. They're more in football tune. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a positive that the kids are, you know, really involved in the off season with all the different activities, the 7-on-7, the camps, you know, the strength and conditioning stuff, making sure they're staying in shape. You know, but just from a football standpoint, I mean, we try to emphasize to our kids, hey, look, we want to be really, really good at the little things, and we don't want to get bored at the boring stuff. Okay, so yeah. whether we're doing it for 3-4 months, 5 months, and then we gotta take a step back. I think that's the thing that we try to really get these kids to you know to do is just train them to develop these great habits, these great fundamentals, these great techniques, and that takes a lot of time. You know, sure. And especially when you're dealing with kids that are, you know, 9th, 10th, even 11th graders, you know, a lot of times we don't see the kids really start to click with a lot of the techniques we're asking them to do until their junior year or until their senior year, you know, because it takes a lot of repetition, right? And they're going to make mistakes, and it's on us to just positively reinforce the things that they're doing to make sure that they're doing it exactly, you know, how we want them to do it. Yeah. And they're doing it in the right way.
And that's right. A great thing, obviously, something that you kind of instilled in them. And remember, you know, this was a program Coach Byron Walker and a lot of coaches have been there in the past. But you guys have a different approach. I mean, you guys have came in here and you know, they're probably more stickler to detail than a lot of these kids were used to, a lot more discipline. You guys are Northeast guys. Talk about that, because we know there's talent. I was saying that before. There's talent everywhere, talent in Northeast, Jersey, New York, everywhere. What is the difference, do you think? Is there a more of a disciplined approach to the game in the Northeast than there is here?
I don't really know. I don't know if I can answer that question. I know what we do, and I know what I believe in, and I know what we've had success doing in the past. And we just try to provide, you know, the structure, you know, from a program standpoint for these kids to prepare them for the next level. We try to build in those routines that you know, they're going to have to get used to when they do step on a college campus. You know, and obviously discipline is a part of, you know, being a football player, right? You know, that's an important piece to, you know, making sure that you're in a proper stance, you got the right alignment, you're communicating, all those things. You know, to me, I think, you know, the requirements, if you want to have a good, you know, solid program and have success.
Right. No doubt. I mean, 100%. That's a great formula to follow. Jake Pugh joins us. He's the head coach at Archbishop McCarthy right there in, I call it Southwest Ranches. I know it's probably Cooper or Fort Lauderdale, but if you go there, and I've been there plenty of times, they you have the teal turf, but now you have a new addition, which is awesome. It's an indoor facility. Talk about that. That's, I mean, no, nobody has that, but you guys, what a great recruiting tool, obviously, to bring in kids, you know, from like, you know, from the middle school and elementary school to get them ready. But talk about that. What a new luxury.
Yeah. I tell you, we couldn't be more excited. You know, to have that new facility. I mean, I just talked about the importance of practice and the importance of repetition. You know, and my first 3 years down here, you know, it was probably once or twice a week that we either had to cut practice short and go into the gym or go into the cafeteria, where we had to sit inside the locker room and extend meetings. So just to have the ability to have a space to where if the weather gets bad and the alarm goes off, we're not going to skip a beat. Right.
Yeah.
And it's a big enough space to where, you know, we can have individual period. We can have all of our group periods. We can have a modified team period. You know, we can do so much walkthroughs. So just the ability to not miss practice, you know, for us is just a huge advantage. And it's going to, you know, be a huge advantage for these kids and just their development as football players. Because,
right.
You know, when you think about, again, when you're counting repetitions, they're going to maximize the amount of repetitions they're going to get in a practice compared to, you know, maybe a different school that has to, you know, cut practice short and the kids go home, or they got to sit in a classroom and watch film for that day, or they got to go in the gym and, you know, do stuff in sneakers that, you know, really isn't ideal. So for us, again, it was just all about the amount of repetitions our kids get and the practice time, you know, because we put, you know, a big value on, you know, our preparation and the stuff that we do during the week.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, and getting your season into perspective, as I mentioned, with the opener against Cardinal Gibbons, and you play a really good community school in Naples. I had an opportunity to watch them, and then St. Brendan's in Miami, and then another tune up, a good True North Academy team that has really gotten a lot better. I know you played them last year, I believe, in the spring. And then you go up to Boynton to play against Somerset. But then that three-game gauntlet, and it's really the season. I mean, you got Norland at home. I mean, on the road, you have Plantation and American Heritage at home. Those three games from September 25th right into the early part of October kind of sets the tone. Last year, you guys were, you know, the district was good enough where all four teams made the playoffs, which is kind of unheard of, but nevertheless gives everybody an opportunity. How did the kids coming back respond off of making the playoffs? Were they hungry after beating Plantation and then coming back and losing to Norland, you know, in the second round? Did that leave them hungry knowing, hey, listen, we've got the team that can do this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we have some great kids. We got some really competitive kids. And, you know, we have some kids that got a lot of experience. You know, when you look at our senior and junior class, you know, a lot of these kids that we've had, you know, since they've been freshmen or sophomores. So these kids, they're extremely excited about, you know, the competitive schedule that we have. And I think our focus is just ourselves making sure we're getting the most out of each day. We're getting better as a football team each day, just so we're prepared to, you know, play some of those teams, you know, week by week, because like you said, I mean, there's some tough teams on that schedule this year that, you know, we're going to be good competitive games.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach, yeah. I can't thank you enough for jumping on with us. The best of luck. Hopefully we'll get you on during the middle of the season. Check in with you again and again. Thanks so much for taking the time. Best of luck this
Absolutely.
Year. And certainly I know that that you guys got everything ready for them. I know that getting an opportunity to see the facility is beautiful, and you guys have done a great job. And we'll talk soon. Thanks.
All right. I appreciate it, Larry. Thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. Head coach Jake Pugh, first year as a head coach. He's been around this game for a while for Archbishop McCarthy. I think that's going to be a pretty decent season for them. Competitive schedule. Certainly, speaking about competitive, nobody knows the competition more than our next guest. He's going to be a senior this year at Goldman High School. He committed to Florida State. Probably one of the first commitments in this class for 2026. One of the top players in the state of Florida, no matter where he plays. He's a safety, but I'll tell you what, he plays everywhere on the field. We welcome in Daryl Trey Bell from Goldman. Daryl, thanks so much, man, for taking the time. I know that this is a huge year for you. This is your final year. Talk about what it's been like for you, because as I told you before, and I've told your mom and Coach Ariel, that you've been the loyal guy. I mean, you could have gone anywhere you wanted, but you've remained true. You've stayed at Goldman. Talk about that, because I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize, but that's to be admired.
Well, it's been a long competitive 4 years. you know, facing adversity from my freshman year to my sophomore year getting hurt to now. But, you know, Gomez has been a program who has, you know, like, we have upgraded. Like, we have advanced in our competition and the way we practice, the way we talk, the way we move. So,
right. Just
being at Gomez just taught me a lot. You know, knowing you can build a name for yourself anywhere you go. I had to learn that the hard way. So, I just felt like me going to Gomez would teach me, like, a life lesson.
I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think what you did is great because of the fact that you showed that no matter where you are, I mean, if you're good, they're going to find you. And certainly you, you know, they've added some pieces around you over the last couple of years. Certainly, you know, there's a team that won the district last year. You guys got to the state playoffs, which is awesome. And then this offseason's be competitive. Talk about what it's been like, you know, your offseason. What have you done in the offseason? What has this team done to get better? I mean, I know you've been to a lot of 7-on-7s, and that's given you an opportunity. What are some of the things that you've done personally that's gotten you better to get the team better?
Working hard outside of Gomez practices, definitely, you know, four practices a day. Definitely early mornings, late nights, you know, change my mindset to a state contender mindset. So I can relate this to the team and, you know, trying to relate my energy onto the team so they know, oh, all right, Trey got a mindset of state, so we're going to try to match his energy too. So we got to go to a conference this year.
Yeah, no doubt. Trey Bell joining us. He's going to be a senior. This kid's big time. I mean, I've watched him. He's a great athlete. But you also do it in the classroom. And we have a lot of young kids, Trey, that listen to this program every week. I mean, they're young. They may be in eighth grade or ninth grade. What advice can you tell them in the classroom that there's no option? I mean, you've got to get it done in the classroom. No matter how many 4-4s you run in the 40 or how many catches you make or how many, you know, fumbles you collect, if you don't get it done in the classroom, you're not going to get it done at the next level. Talk about that. Give some good advice to some of these younger kids listening.
Yeah, definitely. I had to learn that the hard way. You know, without school, it's no football. So just stay consistent, keep your head in a straight line, and, you know, minus all the mental mistakes that you can fix right then and there. Don't be late on your schoolwork. Just see your teachers be respectful, and just get work done when it's needed on time.
Yeah.
So if you wait for a long time, it's going to bite you in the butt, and that don't feel good.
I couldn't agree more. And like you said, I mean, if you just show up, you know, to the school every day and you do your work, I mean, the teachers are going to feel, hey, listen, you know, he's putting in the effort. Not everybody is an A student. Not everybody could get, get 1300 on the SATs but if you come there and you make an attempt to learn, I'm sure a lot of teachers are going to, you know, help you out, you know, especially because you're helping yourself. Why FSU? What was it about Florida State? I know it was early on. They were the first one to show a lot of real love. But what was it about Florida State? Because I know that you've kind of built up a good relationship with Coach Cooper and Coach Surtain up there, along with Coach Norvell. But, Trey, what was it about Florida State, and what is it about Florida State that you want to spend your time there?
You know, just like, the first time Coach Randy Shannon, when he first recruited me, he was a great guy. He's a Miami guy. So we kind of built that relationship on similarities. You know, he's from Miami, got the Miami swagger, just the way we talk and move. Then I went up to Tallahassee for a camp, and the energy was just there. You know, outside of football, I don't know. It's just, I just connected real easy for some odd reason. I connected real easy, and I just fell in love with FSU ever since then.
Right. And I mean, and like I mentioned, you know, having coaches like Coach Surtain, who's been there, done that, you know, his son's one of the best defensive backs in the NFL right now. And he's learned under his dad, who was the same and played with the Dolphins. And Coach Norvell, who's an easygoing guy. You know, you've been around him enough. What is it about him? Because he seems like he's a genuine guy. You know, he doesn't look like he's putting on all these, you know, these things just to make you feel comfortable. I think he's genuinely like that. I think he is a good guy who wants the best. What is it about him that you like?
Coach Norvell, he's definitely an energetic person. His energy doesn't change it, whether we lose, win, or draw. You know, he's going to stay consistent with his emotions. So every time he see me, it's screaming my name with joy. So that just kind of touched my heart in a certain way.
And plus, you got a nice couple of pictures with him, which isn't bad. So that,
yeah.
Well, I can't thank you enough, man. You know, I respect what you do, and your game is just big time. I wish you nothing but the best for your final year here in high school, and also get a district title and get on to FSU. Trey, I can't thank you enough. Have a great evening. We'll talk soon.
No problem.
Good stuff. Trey Bell, FSU commit, one of the best athletes, does it all. For Goldman High School over in Miami Leagues and Ariel Cabrero. And I got to give a shout out to his mom, who's just, you know, every parent should be as supportive as his mom has been. And she does a tremendous job, you know, taking him everywhere, being at every game, being at every camp. And I'll tell you, parents, that means a lot. I know that a lot of you have to work, and I know that, you know, you have double jobs and stuff, but, you know, you don't know what it's like when an athlete gets to look up in the stands and see their family and you know, supporting, and that's huge. So obviously somebody like Trey Bell is very much like that. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we talk Gator football. Gators Online, Corey Bender is next.
It's the South Florida High School Sports Show on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris, we take you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be with us on really the first official week of football. Last week, NFL. This week, today, high schools. Later this week is college. One of the college programs a year ago, we sat here and we talked to Corey Bender about the Florida Gators, and the outlook was not really great. Everybody was talking about jobs being had, the 5-7 records, 4-8 records, but things changed. And this is a program that matured last year, added some really good pieces, really good coaching. Even the two games that they lost, they could have easily won at Tennessee, also against Georgia. And that 6-6 season could have been 8-4. But nevertheless, they head into 2025 with another challenging schedule, but a lot of talent that has been on board. Corey Bender is back with us from Gator Online, and we talked to him this evening. Corey, thanks so much for taking the time. You and I were here at this time last year, Corey, and it wasn't the best of news, but, wow, 365 makes a difference.
No, absolutely, Larry. And like you said, I mean, they finished off the season very well. That carried over in the recruiting. And now heading into this year, there's a lot of optimism. I know that all starts with DJ Lagway, you know, the star quarterback they have. A lot of key returning pieces. And, I mean, yeah, they have the hardest schedule again in college football, according to several outlets that have, you know, ranked every major team's schedule for the upcoming year. But I think Florida, depending on DJ Lagway's health and how, if he can live up to those expectations, they can have a massive season this year and kind of live up to the hype. And it's a very interesting year. I just think it can go one way or the other. I mean, they have so many notable guys at a lot of positions, but I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to DJ Lagway and if he can catapult the team to those national heights.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially on the offensive side of the ball. And if there's going to be any weakness as far as depth, it'll be up front. But that's, you could take a look at 100 teams and say the same thing. But they do have guys like Austin Barber coming back and Kenasia Harris, who I think is, you know, a really good player. So from a front line standpoint, you know, obviously somebody like Bryce Lovett, who has made some great strides, a kid out of Rockledge that we had a chance, and Damian George Jr., who we had an opportunity to play. But the skill, you mentioned obviously Lagway, but the running game, Jaden Baugh had a great freshman year last year. You have some depth at the running back position, but wide receiver. I mean, you had a guy like Eugene Wilson who will be gone. I mean, that guy's first round draft pick material. But behind him, you
You also have Dallas Wilson, arguably one of the top freshmen coming in. Vernell Brown, who's an instant offensive type of guy, great punt returner as well. Talk about the pieces because, yeah, you know, everybody's lacking depth, Corey, especially this time of year. But I think you had a great point. The team's going to go as DJ Lagway is going to go, but he's going to go as far as the offensive line can provide the protection.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing, too, with the offensive line, too, Larry, I mean, they do, but I think depth-wise, they have a little bit unknown, a lot of high major recruits that haven't played much, but they're returning four out of their five starters. I mean, obviously, Jake Slaughter, center, he's an All-American first-teamer, so it right. all revolves around him, and they have a good line. But like you said, Jaden Baugh, I mean, he had five touchdowns in one game last year versus Kentucky. He's coming back as a pure starter because, you know, last year, Montrell Johnson, he was a starter, played a lot. Now it's going to be Jaden Baugh's show. So I think him having a really great freshman year, he's obviously going to be brimming with confidence. And from what we're told, he's had a great camp, you know, offseason altogether. But I think, like you said, Larry, Eugene Wilson III, I mean, we know obviously the talent he has. He battled injuries last year, and I think he kind of has a chip on his shoulder, just knowing, you know, I mean, he had a great freshman year, and then last year took a step back. So I think Florida's going to try to find so many ways to make him the face of that offense as far as skill positions. But I think the other one too, Larry, J. Michael Sturdivant, the transfer from UCLA, who many think he could be a draft pick. He's another – he's a big body. Elijah Badger, he's basically replacing him kind of as the why their big body target who probably will be their go-to weapon along with Eugene Wilson. And Dallas Wilson, like you mentioned, I mean, even though he's a true freshman, he really showed out in the spring game. So I think – wide receiver, they have a lot of talent, and they have obviously they have seniority. They have the guys up there like Sturdivant, Eugene Wilson, but you mix in Dallas Wilson and, like you said, Vernell Brown. There's just a lot of talent in that room. So, but like I said, it goes back to DJ Lagway. I know we reported today that he's been in the boot this week, kind of a minor leg injury from what we're hearing. I think from what Zach Albaveri, my coworker, reported, it has to do with his calf. So I think some people are kind of like, gasping for breath because they're like, man, another injury, but it doesn't look too serious. And like you said, Larry, it's going to revolve around him. If he can live up those expectations, a lot of people have him as an All-American type this year. So a lot of it's going to be placed on his shoulders. And if he can excel, I think this offense is going to be taking the new heights and be one of the better offenses in the country.
Yeah, no doubt. Corey Bender joined us, Gators Online, part of the On3 and Rivals networks now. They emerged a couple weeks ago. Defensively, got some really good kids coming back. Obviously, Tyreek Sapp from St. Thomas Aquinas, you know, one of the show pieces up front. Secondary-wise, really good players. Jordan Castell comes back, a kid that we watch at West Orange. Sharif Denson's back. But I like the depth because now you have Drake Stubbs, you have Ben Hanks Jr., who did a tremendous job. You have the kid Michael Caraway. Talk about this defense because it's got a lot of potential.
Yeah, and I mean, even too, Larry, with linebacker, I mean, it's probably one of the more talented linebackers in the country. I mean, Grayson Howard, who you know obviously from Jacksonville, he started 9 games last year, is coming back from injury. And then Jaden Robinson, who obviously you know from Lake City as well, he'll be pushing him. So that's going to be a good competition throughout the summer. Miles Graham is expected to be stepping into a starting role. He'll be replacing Shamar James at will linebacker. But then you have Aaron Childs, who probably is the most physically imposing in the group, a guy that's obviously going into his third year, he's a former Under Armour American. So I think linebacker, they're in a good spot. I think interior defensive line, that's where overall it's going to be. Caleb Banks, he's the face of that defensive line. You know, some mock drafts for next year have him going in the top 10. Overall, so he's a big guy, but behind him, there's some limited depth there, especially after Deontre Robinson, you know, transferred to North Carolina, some of those bodies behind him. Jamari Lyons, and obviously who you're familiar with, Larry, from high school, right. He's coming back from injury, so he'll need to step up, but I think when you look at the defense as a whole, there's a lot of intriguing pieces. Linebacker's probably the deepest, and I think corner's one of the best battles, I think, right now, too. I mean, Cormani McClain, he's battling Deshaun Johnson. Two Florida guys, two guys from the Sunshine State battling for a starting job. Then you obviously have – I mean, overall, you look at Devin Moore, another guy from Naples who should be starting this year from – like I said, it's a pretty Florida-based secondary, a lot of talent. And like you said, Jordan Castell is coming back into a starting role. So when you list all those names, you look at the defense, you can see why many people are optimistic. There's a lot of depth and a lot of former big-time recruits who can really kind of be taking that next step in their career. It's one thing being a big-time recruit, but a lot of these guys like Kamani McLean has really stepped up this offseason physically, learning the playbook better. So, you know, he'll be battling for a starting spot. And you look at Florida from A to Z, there's a lot of talent on the roster, and we'll see with that really rough schedule, we'll see if they can live up to expectations. And if they can, I mean, this is a team that could be battling for a playoff spot.
No doubt. Everybody down here, big Gator fans, they want to follow you. How are they going to do it? Social media and also what you write also online.
Yeah, absolutely, Larry. Yeah, Gators Online, simple as that. So just go to GatorsOnline.com. We're always putting out stuff daily. Same with the Twitter account, or as they say now, Larry X. I still call it Twitter, yeah. But yeah, just follow us at Gators Online. Too. Yeah, no, it's always the same with that. And constantly right now, like I said, with fall camp peeing up and media stuff, we'll have tons of content. Recruiting never stops. So if you're looking for your one-stop shop for all Florida Gators covers, Gators Online is the place to be.
No doubt. I still call it Gulf of Mexico, too. So who knows, you know, anymore. Hey, I can't thank you enough. You're looking imposing in that picture. I love it.
Oh,
man.
I appreciate it, man. I saw you coming. Yeah, I appreciate it, brother.
Yeah, you look like you could maybe be a reliever for the Detroit Tigers.
Yeah, I look. I do look like a reliever with that beard.
Yeah, you do. Oh, hey, man. Thanks so much, man. As always, just stay close and we'll hit you up a lot.
Thanks so much, Larry. See you soon, buddy.
You too. Corey Bender ends hour number one. He's a great guy. Knows his stuff inside and out. If you ever get a chance, go look on Gators Online. You'll see his picture. He looks like an imposing reliever with that beard. But that wraps up hour number one. Please do not go away. We'll be back in a few.
This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with Larry Bluestein on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app.
Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Their experts treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com.
Here is Larry Bluestein.
And welcome back to hour number two. Glad you could be with us on this Monday, July the 28th. This is it. This is the week that ushers in all of football. Last week with the NFL, colleges this week, high schools today. We are back. A lot of nothing in the off season with camps and drafts and combines and such. But we're here. We've arrived. Within the next month, we will be playing for real in college and high school. And then after Labor Day, the NFL will kind of kick in as well. So that 7.5, almost 8-month hiatus from meaningful football is over. So now everything that you do is going to be, it's going to be for real. If you missed anything in the first hour, we had Coach Jake Pugh, the head coach at Archbishop McCarthy, on as he begins his first year. Good program, tough district. Whenever you have defending state champion Archbishop McCarthy, American Heritage Plantation, Norland Plantation, and it's not easy. Talk to Florida State commitment, probably the first Florida State commitment in the 2026 class, Trey Bell. From Goldman High School, outstanding football talent, great kid and very loyal. I mean, that says a lot. I mean, we talked about it. He's had a billion chances over the last 3 years to go to Northwestern, to Columbus, to St. Thomas, anywhere, Chaminade, but he stayed right there and has done his thing. And also Corey Bender joined us from Gators Online. We talked a little bit of Florida football as we start our hour number two. By the way, if you want to listen to anything from this show, just go to WQAM.com. Go to the top of the page where it says podcast. And there we are. We have them for as long as you want. Just keep listening. And some really good interviews over the last couple of weeks. And as I said, I promise over the next couple of weeks, we'll be doing some really good stuff. And tonight, you want to hold on to all these interviews because they're gold, because they're the best of the best. Our first guest of the second hour is the best of the best. He's been covering Florida State for a long, long time. The one thing about Chris Knee is he's never gets too high, never gets too low. If everything's going bad like last year, you never knew it. He was always up, you know, up tempo, and same thing when they win. Certainly he's got to be a lot more optimistic this year as they start another season. Obviously it's going to be a tough opener. They have some really interesting games along the way, but I think that Florida State's done enough to at least try to get back over the hump. Chris Nee from 247 Knowles is kind enough to join us this evening. Chris, thanks so much for taking the time. Appreciate that. And certainly you and I talked last year at this time. There was not a lot of optimism. This year's got to be a whole lot better.
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting. Last offseason was a lot about carryover, retention, some new pieces, and the expectation that things were going to fall into place. This year is really about a very new team. You've got a heck of a lot of new players, eight or so probably of your starters on offense against Alabama in a little over a month are going to be transfers. Defensively, not as many, but pretty close to that number. You've got multiple new coaches, Gus Malzahn coaching the offense, Tony White coaching the defense as far as coordinators, along with some other assistants that are new. So it's very different. It's also very unknown. We've been a little more closed off this year than normal under Mike Norvell as far as availability of watching practices with our own two eyes. So there's a little bit more mystery and unknown. So it's going to be an interesting 2025 watching it kind of come together and see exactly what this is supposed to look like.
Yeah, but for the FSU fan, I mean, it had been the worst of worst nightmares because you go from a team that – really should have been playing the national championship game and undefeated regular season to two wins. And, yeah. You know, I mean, it's just like, wow, you know, like, you know, wake me up, please, before this nightmare gets any worse. I mean, and I'm sure you as a, like I said, an even tempered guy kind of talked a lot of people off the ledge saying, hey, listen, you know what? I think we have good coaches. I think we have a right direction. We just have to, you know, I mean, you kind of like didn't do as well in the portal as you had done in the past. Does this year, and I know you haven't really seen a lot of the kids over and over again, but do guys like Squirrel White and Michael Pettis and Tommy Castellanos kind of like peg the meter a little bit offensively?
Yeah, I think the hope is that they learned lessons from missed evaluations of how they constructed the 24 roster and that those were applied in constructing the 25 roster. I think that's probably where the hope lies. You mentioned Deuce Robinson, Squirrel White. Those are two guys that should be at the very top of your wide receiver depth chart. They go and add Tommy Castellanos at quarterback to build an offense around him with a coordinator who used to be his head coach at UCF. So there's a great deal of familiarity between the two parties. And basically there's knowledge of what they're trying to do, which is going to be run heavy more than likely with a quarterback who's very capable of being a dual threat and using his legs. And then offensive line, which was among the many issues they had a season ago, probably one of the biggest, probably one of the ones at the forefront of why they were so non-competitive on a week-to-week basis last season, they went and added four transfers that are going to start for them there. The only carryover on the offensive line is Richie Leonard. So I think the intention is that they've constructed a team, at least like a first-team depth chart, especially on offense, of guys that they believe are reliable, proven pieces that also fit the concept of what they're trying to do here. So I think that is how they're approaching it, with Gus Malzahn driving the bus offensively now as a play caller, a difference from Mike Norvell previously having been a play caller here. And the hope is that it all falls into place. Obviously, Bama out of the gate is going to challenge them. Bama's always got great athletes on the defensive side of the ball. They're going to get after you. But they do have a couple games after Bama before they really get in the meat of the schedule that are going to allow them almost a preseason type feel as far as opponents with East Texas A&M and Kent State. So I think the judgment of them shouldn't be made necessarily on August 30th. I think it's more probably September 26th when they go to Virginia for their fourth game, because that's an opponent who should challenge them, and they'll have had a few weeks of actual real football to figure out who and what they're going to be in the 25 version of themselves.
Yeah, yeah. So offensively, it's going to be kind of a week-to-week thing to see what happens. And I agree with you. Alabama, it can't be a barometer because Alabama's, you know, a team that'll lose one and then get one just as good. But at the same time, you figure after that, as you said, there's two or three games in that stretch where they could test the waters offensively and see what, you know, get on the same page and get the running game going. Because I know Roydell Williams and Cam Davis have an opportunity to be special. They just have to have some blocking and they got to, you get some balance. Castellanos has got to kind of use his wide receivers and tight ends. D Defensively, you get a few more names that we knew from last year coming back. Obviously, with Jabril Rawls and KJ Kirkland and Shaheem Brown, guys that know the system, been there a little bit, KJ Sampson, Darnell Jackson. Talk about that and how the new guys, you know, I know that Deontay McCray is a kid that a lot of people like, and also Stephon Thompson. Talk about some of the defensive guys.
Well, Darrell Jackson's got to be the tone setter as a return guy. He's a monster in the middle. He's physically capable of being dominant, and the need for him is to be consistent and competitive every rep that he's out there for. And in FSU's revised system, they're going to run more like a 3-3-5 or 4-2-5, depending on the look that they give up front. He's going to be the monster in the middle. He's kind of got to be the tone setter. As far as the new pieces, I think the conversation starts with James Williams. He's a guy coming from the system at Nebraska that Tony White's bringing over to FSU. He's got a familiarity. He's got some positional flexibility. I think he's the guy that, beside Darrell up front, probably is one that's going to help you set a tone. Linebacker, you have a decent returning group of players there, and then you go and add Elijah Herring. He's a guy that was at Tennessee to start his career, struggled a little bit early in his collegiate career, went to Memphis and became kind of a tackling machine. I think FSU's hope is that he continues to be that tackling machine. And then the secondary is very homegrown. That's a group that, for the most part, I think they have 14 returning players there. So that's a lot of guys that have been in the building for a good bit of time that they're developing in the building. And I think after the spring, they understood we really need to probably make sure we have a corner who's a no-doubter. And they went and got Jeremiah Wilson from Houston, who's actually a state of Florida product who they're bringing back to the state. Jeremiah immediately becomes their cornerback one. And I think that kind of slots that younger group of secondary in place where you have, you know, two corners, three safeties you feel really good about as your starting types. And then you have a great deal of depth that you're going to figure out in real time. You mentioned KJ Kirkland. He's part of that depth at safety, for example. The defense has plenty of people that can be good. I think the key there is how do they fit into the scheme and how comfortable are they with the scheme as they actually start playing games. It's for guys who are returning players, especially in that front 6-7 group, it's a change. It's different. FSU's predominantly been a 4-2-5 even before Mike Norvell arrived to town. Now they're going to be a bit more of a 3-3-5 with some 4-2-5 elements. Jack linebacker, he's kind of an outside linebacker, DN. Who becomes that guy? What is the intention of that guy? Is that going to be purely a pass rush guy or a guy that plays a little bit more laterally in space at the intermediate range? I think those are things that we've got to figure out about this football team that I think this football team has to figure out about themselves to know who and what they're going to be as a defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. Chris Neat joins us 24/7. Knowles does a tremendous job. What about some of the Florida kids? A lot of people were asking me, say, hey, you know, ask Chris about Earl Little Jr., Edwin Joseph, obviously, Conrad Hussey from St. Thomas, and also, you know, somebody who was there for the last couple of years, Omar Graham at linebacker. How do those four guys kind of figure in this scheme?
Omar is a guy that could be their jack. He could be a downhill pass rusher type for them. I think that's truthfully his greatest strength as a linebacker. I do think Omar is going to have a starter type role for them. He seemed to have a good spring. They seem to be very pleased with him. Earl Little Jr., who's actually a representative for them at ACC kickoff this past week, he'll be a rover in this system. They play a three safety system. He'll do a lot of work in the intermediate range, the middle of the field. He'll be a physical force. The interesting thing with Earl is he started so poorly last year for them early in the season. He did improve dramatically as the year went on. Some of that was they finally figured out what spot to play him at. I think he also had a boost in confidence as he started playing better. They have invested a lot of time and belief in him throughout this offseason. It almost elevated him to one of the three, four most important players on their entire defense as far as being a face of it. So I think there's a degree of they believe they'll get a return on that with Earl. And Earl's a kid that's easy to share for. He's easy to like. He's certainly physical. The key for him is being effective in coverage. You brought up Edwin. Good spring till he got hurt, which was a disappointment because he was doing really well. I think Edwin's a guy that definitely can start back there beside Earl and Shaheem Brown, who's a returning starter at safety. I think Edwin can be their third safety. They've got a whole lot of Florida blood, especially in that secondary. That secondary is loaded with Florida guys. I brought up Jeremiah Wilson, who's from Kissimmee, Osceola area.
Yes.
Charles Lester's an in-state kid. KJ Kirkland's an in-state kid. Shamar is from Georgia, but I think he's actually – Shamar Arnaud is from Georgia, but I believe he's actually originally from South Florida. Brought up Conrad Hussey. an interesting returning player. Conrad's got all the talent in the world. The key for him is maturing on and off the field and just being that way consistently on a day-to-day basis. Edwin Joseph had some of that in him where he had to mature, and I felt like he did a great job of that in the last 12 months. It's now Conrad's turn to kind of turn that corner and do a similar thing that Edwin did to put himself in a position to be more relied upon as a player.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't usually talk about kickers, but I got to give my boy Jake Weinberg a little bit of plus. I think he has the potential to be one of the best kickers Florida State's had in a long time. Strong leg, accurate kid out of Del Rey. Talk about him and what you expect out of the special teams, because obviously, as we found out, especially with the University of Miami, the Borregales brothers are gone, and now the drop-off is huge. What about Jake? How do they feel about Jake? Because he was one of the best high school kickers in the country.
Yeah, Jake's got a monster leg. It's unbelievable to watch him just kick the hell out of it sometimes. The way when he truly boots it, like gets it, he can let it fly and it can go a long, long way. I think key with him, like any kicker, is consistently doing it in high pressure situations. And that's one of those things that he's yet to have to do that in the collegiate atmosphere. Obviously, they try to simulate in practices, and I think he did a fair job of handling that last year. The key now is when the lights come on, can you do it? The special teams part of FSU is interesting. It truthfully was the best part of the FSU football team last year.
That's sad.
But those guys are gone. With Fitz and Mastro going to the pros, you know, they got to replace that. Max Schimento is going to be their new punter. He should be fine. They do return their long snapper, so there's some continuity there. The key for them is also going to be finding good return men. They got a lot of athletes on this team, and guys like, you know, Squirrel White, Juice Robinson, for example, at receiver, or some of the other receivers in that room certainly could be return men for them. But they really need to find somebody that gives them a little juice in that regard. I think that's an area, you know, stealing yardage and not allowing lost yardage in the sense of not fielding punts is such an important place when you have a team that's going to have to be good in the margins. And for FSU to capitalize on what they should be this year, what they could be at their best version, they have to be good in those regards.
Good stuff. Chris, let everybody know how they can follow you also, because you're going to be writing a lot of good stuff over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, practice kicks off on Wednesday. We get a bunch of time with coach and assistant tomorrow. Knowles247.com. Always. Twitter account is also Knowles247. Personally, see me 24/7.
As always, man, thanks so much. We'll be contacting you plenty, and keep up the great work, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Blue. Take it easy.
Good stuff. Chris Nee from Knowles247 does a tremendous job, as you could hear, knows every facet of the game. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts. Now, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we take a look at South Florida Media Day. Brandon Odoi from Football Hotbed is next.
Welcome back to the South Florida High School Sports Show on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute.
Larry Bluestein, Trevor Harris with you up until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad that you can be with us. Special week. Everything gets going. NFL last week. Colleges Wednesday, Thursday. High schools today, a lot of things going on for a season that promises to be interesting, especially the high school level with some really good games, great teams, and certainly kicking things off with Media Day, which I always like. I had an opportunity to attend a couple of them already upstate in the Orlando area up in Gainesville to kick off their season. Now it's time with the big boys. Notoriety, a lot of great teams in South Florida. And for the last couple of years, I think 4 years or so, Brandon Odoi from Football Hotbed has done a tremendous job getting these teams together. They all come out, get interviewed, have an opportunity to take some crazy pictures, talk about the season ahead. And he is doing it again this Saturday as Media Day will take place. There'll be quite a few teams from Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach taking place. And Brandon is kind enough to join us this evening. Brandon, thanks so much for taking the time, and thank you so much for what you do, not only for the youth kids, but also for the high schools as far as promotion and getting the kids exposed.
Thank you, Blue. Appreciate you. You know, you're the blueprint. So, just trying to follow in the footsteps, exposures. super important, especially nowadays with, you know, less and less kids, transfer portal and all those things. So really means a lot.
And the very fact that, you know, for some crazy reason, a lot of people are trying to limit the coverage on high school football, which I think is insane. And that could be a 2-hour show. But this media day, you started it out, you know, obviously got some select teams to come out, you know, give them exposure, because, you know, as well as I do, anything down here is never consistent. 1 year, one place runs one, and then the next year somebody else runs one. But what you guys are trying to do is get some continuity, and by doing so, you invite a lot of the top teams and such. Talk about the event and, you know, how it came about. I know that you're in promotion wise and, you know, really close to a lot of the programs, and you understand that these kids need more exposure and not just limited to just 3 and 4 and 5 kids, but you invite teams and a lot of kids get an opportunity to get exposure.
Absolutely. I think, you know, obviously, you know, we've had a lot of traditions in South Florida. You know, we've had, you know, and not throwing shots at anybody, we've had organizations step up, have media days, and sometimes they have them, sometimes they don't. And you know what it is with these big corporate entities, you know, bottom lines change, visions change, wise change. What we've tried to do is be consistent. Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, allow everybody to come, because it's not just about football hot day. We're the host, but we invite the South Florida media community to come and in one place try to talk to as many of these top teams and top players and coaches and be able to do their jobs. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, we're a small corporation. We don't have sponsorships like that. It's just, it has to be done, because, you know, Larry, you've got to be able to go to one place and write all the content that you need to write, the articles, the previews, and you can't be asked to go to a Dade, Broward, a Palm Beach, or this. Like, that's just too much, especially in the lead up to the season. So we've just tried to fill that gap, and you know, year four going to, you know, keep going as long as we can.
Yeah, and you made a great point. You make it to a comfortable standpoint. There's not 95,000 teams. I mean, you just can't. You can't run through 113 teams in one day. You just can't, because the kids are never going to get their part of their slice of the pie. They're never going to get fair. You know, it's sort of like they're ushering them in and out like cattle. But with you, you get your kids up for 15, 20 minutes there. You know, we get an opportunity, and I thank you so much for providing that for us to ask them questions. And then after they get an opportunity to do that, they move into another part where they go one-on-one with some of the entities. And I know all the 24/7s and the On3s and the Rivals and such, and the Miami Herald and the Sun Sentinel and all the other places, they're all on hand there. They love it. You know, as well as I do, it's a great opportunity for them to get those stories, like you said, instead of running, you know, all over South Florida to do it. But this is a good opportunity for the kids as well, Brandon, because a lot of them, and as you know, this is their first opportunity for public speaking, and you know, this is their first opportunity to have, and you know, like I had Trey Bell on earlier this evening, and you know, Trey, you know, is going to Florida State. Here's a kid, and you know as well as anybody, because you've covered him, has been as loyal as anybody. I mean, and you know, and the one thing he has that a lot of other kids don't have is a great support system. His mom is great. She's always there. She's always at games.
Absolutely.
So with him, he's different. But you get a guy whose mom works two jobs, and there's no male influence in there. And they're really, this is their first go around at a big time type of deal. So when you line up whoever it be, St. Thomas or Western or Delray Atlantic or any of the, you know, Broward County teams this Saturday, a lot of these kids will be speaking in front of a microphone or having a microphone in their face for the first time.
It's absolutely true. And the culture in South Florida is usually the winning team after a game, you get a chance to interview and talk to or what have you. We don't have a scenario where both teams talk like they do in college. You get a chance to hear from both coaches. So the media savvy of these young people isn't as high as it could be. And Media Day, Football Hot Bed Media Day, it is an excellent opportunity for these kids to begin to, you know, kind of make themselves known and interact with the media. One thing that's been interesting, you know, Blue, and I'll tell you this, you know this, it's interesting to look back on guys in years past where I didn't even know who they were.
Right.
I'll give you one guy, you know, Mr. Sears from West Broward. He's a kid that was at Media Day last year. He took a headshot, skinny-looking freshman. Now he's one of the top players in the country in the class of 2028. But he was at Media Day. I didn't notice him. We were all focused on his teammate, Josh, that's down there at the University of Miami.
Yeah,
now,
Josh Moore, right.
Yeah, he was all the rage. But here's this, you know, skinny little freshman, and now just even a year later, 365 days later, he's one of the biggest names in this area. And that's what the cool thing about Media Day is, because you never know who's going to become what.
Yeah, and you hit it right on the nail, because you more than anybody sees this because you do a lot of youth football, but this incoming 2029 freshman class already has stars, kids who got it done at the youth football league level, and they're legendary. Just like, you know, you look at some of the other kids that are getting recruited now, like Calvin Russell and players like Nick Lanier, who was a absolute stud in youth football. He makes his way. Dalvin Cook, guys like that. So that's the one thing, too, that you kind of help bridge the gap, because you know these kids before you and Jerry Williamson and guys who and Travis Thomas, who do a lot of youth football, you know, throughout the course of a year, have an idea about some of these kids. But even with Amir Sears, as you mentioned, you know, you'll get somebody once in a while that'll kind of like slide under the radar and mature. I know last year we had a couple of state championship teams there last year. West Boca was there. American Heritage Plantation was there.
We started having West Boca at Media Days. Everybody looked at us like we were crazy because
not so much now.
And now look.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It looks good on our part. But, you know, you said it, Blue. We start on the youth level. You've got your Jeffrey O'Neills who's coming into Plantation. He's got 8-9 Division I offers. He'll only be a freshman this year. He's already played 2 years of varsity football. You got Chris Coleman going to St. Thomas Aquinas. He's a big-name receiver coming out of the youth levels, and he's expected to probably get some varsity time, you know, at Aquinas. And this 29 class is loaded, and what guys are starting to realize, because we've had so many marquee names, the Jeremiah Smiths, the Josiah Traders, they're going to these training houses, they're developing with these speed and strength trainers, and they're, you know, kind of sipping from the saucer a little bit earlier on in their careers, and they're making the moves that kind of put them in position. Watch out for Archbishop McCarthy. You got a young man who played for the Miami Gardens Ravens. He may be the starter at quarterback. Mr. Mosley over there. So it's going to be an interesting year with these freshmen, and I'm looking forward to seeing them, and I'm looking forward to a great high school football year. I'm excited for Saturday.
No doubt. Let everybody know how they can follow you on hotbed.com. I know that you do a lot of social media, but your website is always filled with a lot of great stuff, things that many people may not be able to find anywhere else.
Yeah, footballhotbed.com. Just dropped an exclusive interview we did on the podcast In Focus. And you can follow us at Football Hotbed on every social media and at Hotbed on TikTok and Instagram. And I've gotten into TikTok. It's kind of a weird place, Larry, but
another venue.
What you got to do.
Yeah, it's another avenue. A lot of people follow everything, you know, like, I mean, I'm heavily into X and do a lot of stuff on Instagram, but you know what, whatever the kids, and especially I find in Orlando when I put up the, like the photos of the kids, you know, in on Instagram, that I got a million new followers, and I didn't realize the kids were into Instagram as much as they were.
The kids are big into Instagram.
Yeah.
Huge
they
Instagram.
Are. Because you can write more stuff and you can, you know, you could get a lot of stuff. But I'm looking forward to Saturday. Thank you so much again for taking the time, and we'll see you bright and early.
Thank you, Blue. See you soon.
Good stuff. Brandon O'Doy from Football Hotbed. This Saturday, they have their kickoff media day, which should be a lot of fun. Like I said, it's not, and I'm not taking shots, it's just that you can't. And I was at a media day last week in Orlando, and they had 110 schools, but they spaced them over 3 days.
I mean, if you're going to do that, you do, that's how you do it, because everybody gets an opportunity to have equal time. No one's rushing anybody out. You know, they get their time in the spotlight in many areas, but that's what's going to happen this week for teams from Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach. And as I was saying, last year, you had Heritage there, you had St. Thomas there, you had Chaminade there, you had West Boca there. Those are four state champions from the South Florida area. So, yeah. And Northwestern, so there was five. So that's a pretty good deal. Speaking about pretty good deals, this week it all starts. University of Miami will hit the field after a long offseason of new faces, questioning coaches, new everything, and starting this week we'll get it for real over the next 3 weeks in preparation for the opening game against Notre Dame on a Sunday. Adam Lichtenstein covers this team, and he does a tremendous job. It also does great hockey as well. I know he loved his hockey coverage traveling across the globe this year a couple of times from the Sun Sentinel. And he is kind enough to join us this evening. Adam, thanks so much for taking the time. And before we start, I do want to thank you for the win yesterday. You gave the Mets at least a half a game cushion.
Anytime. And thanks for having me. And I'm shocked, hearing you talk about, the high school stuff and hearing West Boca mentioned in the same breath as Chaminade and St. Thomas. That still seems wild to me.
Yeah. And they want, they won a state title last year. And I know when you were covering this stuff, lad, West Boca was struggling to get a win. Now they're, they have a chance to go undefeated. Speaking about that, Miami, I mean, this is a team last year that had its best offense maybe ever. Production wise, point wise, they always knew they were going to get into the 40s. But that defense just was a curse. But they did so much work, Adam, in the offseason on strengthening the defense, adding pieces to the secondary, getting a new coordinator, adding another two coaches. Talk about that, because I think that the focal point, everybody knows the offense. They have a really good coordinator, they have a good system, they have good players. But everybody's going to watch this defense.
Yeah, no, it's a whole new defense. It's like you can't really base a lot of, what to expect this year off of what we saw last year, because it's basically totally revamped, especially in the secondary. I mean, you've got a bunch of new corners. The only corners who are left are the ones who, either in Damari Brown's case, he was out most of the year, or O.J. Frederick, who, looked really good as a freshman last year. Otherwise, it's basically all new, new safeties and Zachariah Poyser and Jacoby Thomas, new corners like guys like Xavier Lucas and Ethan O'Connor. Hard to keep them all straight because there's so many of them, but Charles Brantley, like, it's a whole new secondary. And then, the defensive line, you've got a good group, led by Ruben Bain and Akeem Mesidor, who, if they're healthy, like, that's a heck of a tandem at defensive end. I'm really intrigued to see on the interior of the line, Justin Scott, see how he progresses. Because he flashed some good stuff last year playing behind some veterans. Now he'll probably get a bigger opportunity this year. So I'm excited to see what, he's a former five-star guy, see what he can do. And then, like you said, new defensive coordinator in Corey Heatherman, a couple of new defensive coaches in, Will Harris and Zach Etheridge and Damian Lewis on the defensive line, coaching defensive line. So it's a whole new, side of the football. So it's like, yeah, they kind of fell apart down the stretch last year. And this year, I think they really wanted to build depth again, particularly in the secondary, and they should have it.
Yeah, I mean, without question. I mean, you mentioned all the pieces that have come on, and then obviously you have Markeith Williams, and hopefully Damari Brown is going to be healthy because he's certainly an outstanding football player. We'll see what happens with Keontae Scott, who is another kid that came in as well. But, last time we talked, and I think I kind of emphasized it, and I do most of the time when I talk about the University of Miami, is the fact that a player came back that I think that may be the key from a number of standpoints. And I'm talking about Akeem Mesidor. Has played more football than anybody on the team. Is older, I think he's one of the oldest guys on the team. But here's a kid that is a great leader. He's a producer. He's close, real close with Reuben Bain as, you know, as teammates. I think his him coming back has made such a difference in so many ways, obviously on the field. But I think that, you know, you look at Mario Cristobal and he looks at him as having that extra coach type of guy in the locker room. He's soothing. He's even tempered and he gets along with everybody.
Oh, I totally agree. I think he's so underrated. Just because, I mean, one, like you said, off the field, he's a great dude. I've had a chance to talk to him at different, you know, Miami events, just, you know, just chatting and stuff. Super nice guy and great to talk to. And then on the field, I mean, look at what he did a couple of years ago when he first came to UM in 2022. He was excellent playing on the edge. Like, he was a great edge rusher for him. 2023, I think he was hurt a good chunk of the year. And then last year, they shifted him back and forth between edge rusher and defensive tackle, and I think he's best suited to be an edge rusher. And now they've got more depth on that on the interior. I think they're going to line him up primarily as an edge rusher. And I think, you know, the combo of him and Bain, like, he should eat this year. I think he is poised for a really, really solid year.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And then right behind them, you have a kid like Marquise Lightfoot. Everybody's waiting to see David Blay, who was a guy that they really, really worked hard to get him. And Dante Simpson, kid from Chaminade, who's just a true freshman, a big kid, 6'5", 290, 300, almost 300 pounds. And then Armando Blunt, a kid that started out as an eighth grader at Dillard, made his way to Miami Central, and then but the key, too, is the depth at linebacker. We know Wesley Bissaint. He's been around for 4 years. He's a kid that has an opportunity to play and do real well. And then I think Popo Raul Aguirre might be their best as far as physicality. He's got speed. And then behind him, you got a couple of kids that are pushing their way, like a Cam Pruitt and the young kid Wiley, Jalen Alderman. So there's a lot more depth to choose from. And I think that that's important because last year it wasn't a very deep unit.
Yeah, exactly. You mentioned the linebackers, like you mentioned Alderman, who guy who didn't have to come back, but he had more eligibility, and you know he's a guy who could play 300 snaps for you at linebacker and do it well. And they brought in two transfers, you know, two veteran guys in Mo Touré, who when he was at Rutgers playing for Heatherman, when he was healthy, and he's in it going into the seventh year because he's missed 2 years due to torn ACLs. When he's healthy, you know, he was an all Big Ten honorable mention at linebacker. So when he's healthy, he's a really solid guy. You bring in Kamal Bonner, who was solid at Louisville or NC State. I sometimes get them mixed up. But red teams, you know. And then you mentioned all those young guys, you know, like they've got depth on the defense. And that's what really hurt them last year. I mean, the defense last year was never amazing. But it got worse and worse as the season went on. And it got worse and worse because they had no depth. All their guys, you know, they had so many injuries. Even guys who were playing were playing hurt. You know, so that depth is what really hurt them. And the fact that they went into the portal this year and they didn't just get, you know, superstars or anything. They got good players, but they got a lot of good players. They didn't necessarily get a ton of, like, superstars or anything, but they got a lot of good players so that, you know, obviously you don't wish injuries on anyone, but if a Xavier Lucas gets banged up or O.J. Frederick gets banged up, okay, great. You've got Ethan O'Connor. You've got Keontae Scott. You've got all these guys. You got Charles Brantley. You've got all these guys who can play, and a lot of them can play multiple positions. So you build that depth, and that way when injuries inevitably happen, you don't have such a fall-off when you have to put in the backups.
Yeah, no, and I agree 100%. And, you know, that's the one difference. You know, I mean, and that's the one thing when Mario Cristobal arrived, he said, listen, we're going to make changes every year. We're going to shore up things. The offense didn't look great. He replaced coaches on offense, got new players. This defense was kind of nice to say abysmal, but they've made changes. Mm-hmm. As we said, new coordinator, new coaches, new personnel. And right now, this is a team that's got talent. And they're looking forward to that Notre Dame game. They don't leave the state for 6 weeks. You know, they play up at Florida State. They play USF. They play Florida, play Bethune. And then when they go on the road, it's going to be challenging no matter what anybody wants to say. They always have problems with Pitt. That's always a tough road game. They got to go to Dallas to play SMU. They got to play Virginia Tech, a team that, you know, could have gone either way last year. So obviously Florida State is one of those teams. It's a rivalry. I don't care what anybody, oh, we'll kill them. You know, not so much, you know, I mean, especially because they're embarrassed at what happened last year. And we'll find out about both teams on opening day. Miami plays Notre Dame and FSU plays against Alabama. Adam, let everybody know how they can follow you. Do such a great job, and people, especially this coming week and the next couple of weeks leading up to the Notre Dame game.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at AB Lichtenstein. You can follow me on Blue Sky just as A Lichtenstein. And you can read everything I write at sunsentinel.com. And yeah, looking forward to it. Got Media Day coming up this week. Got first day of practice coming up this week. So yeah, it's all getting started.
Good stuff. Thanks so much. We'll be hooking up with you soon.
Thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Adam Lichtenstein, South Florida Sun Sentinel, does a tremendous job with the Canes. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute experts. Now, they treat athletes of all levels, elite pros, active adults, and youth athletes. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. That's uhealthsportsmedicine.com. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Monday.
It's the South Florida High School Sports Show on AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app. Sponsored by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute.
Back to wrap things up with you on a Monday evening. Glad that you were with us. If you missed any of the show, we started things off earlier this evening. Coach Jake Pugh from Archbishop McCarthy, his first year as head coach. They have a really good football team. Trey Bell, who is if you're an FSU fan, he will be a senior in high school this year. He's a safety, and a big-time kid going to Goldman High School. We had him on. You'll get a chance to listen to that. Trevor Harris is putting all of our interviews up at WQAM.com. Just go to where it says podcast, and there we are. Corey Bender talked University of Florida football as well from Gators Online. If you're an FSU fan, as I mentioned, not only Trey Bell, but we also had an opportunity to hear from Chris Knee from 247 Knowles. He broke down what the Seminoles are going to look like a little bit this year. Brandon O'Doy joined us from Football Hotbed. They're having their South Florida Media Days this Saturday to kind of usher in the season. And we talked University of Miami with Adam Lichtenstein from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Hurricanes will open up practice this week. They have their media day this week. So everything is everything. We thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this week. We thank Trevor Harris for doing what he does and all of our guests who joined us. We will be back in this seat next Monday. Have a great week. We'll see you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart.
for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.